You asked for it. Actually, you demanded it. So here's another Newsmakers podcast. I'm Kyle Vergara, Managing Editor of the ACHR News. Today, we're sitting down with Talbot G., the recently promoted Vice President and COO of Hardy. We talk about industry expectations for 2011, issues facing the HVAC industry, and what is new and on the horizon for Hardy. Enjoy the conversation, and we will see you on the other side. So we bring in Talbot G. from Hardy. Thanks for joining us, Talbot.
Thank you very much. Glad to be involved.
I was at a distributor meeting in St. Louis recently, and a lot of people were saying that they had a good 2010, and most were attributing it to those 25C tax credits. And I know in 2011 it was reduced from 1,500 to 500, I think. Did that surprise you, and how does that affect the industry?
Well, to give it a little frame of reference here, 2010 was a decent year. We had some members who definitely had strong 2010s, but overall, on a macro level, 2010 actually underperformed from what it really should have looked like, given a lot of things that were lined up for last year. So we're going into 2011 with a little bit of hesitation with concern because largely of that reduction in that tax credit. Now, that being said, I personally think it's an amazing victory that we even kept the tax credit in the tax code. That was absolutely huge. We did see that higher tax credit amount pulled demand into December, so we do know that members had a bang up December, but it does set up a bit of a scenario where we could have a pretty sluggish first quarter 2011. The fact that it's still in the tax code, though, which I have to give direct credit to our manager of government affairs, John Melkai, Lennox Industries in particular, who did a lot of work, ACCA and Charlie McCrudden, they spent a lot of time in Washington making sure that credit at least stayed in the tax code, that it gives us a chance to pursue some ways to continue to extend that, expand it, tweak it, but keep some sort of incentive in the tax code for us.
Yeah, I give you guys credit. It's definitely a tough political environment to push that through.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about 2011, at least the first quarter. What do you feel about 2011 in general? I heard, you know, some theories that a lot of people have been repairing during the economic downturn and are not going to be ready to buy, but then some people saying, well, with the tax credits, a lot of people that were going to buy bought. So how does Hardy see 2011 shaping up?
Well, there absolutely has been 2011 demand, especially in heating products, pulled into the 2010 sales. So that will already start 2011 off with a little bit of a headwind. We have seen continually rising repair rates for unitary equipment, split systems, over the last several years. And we've heard the pent-up demand, and we have that a very close strategic partnership with JP Morgan Equity Research. We talk a lot with them, and I know that this is a crux of a lot of their analysis. Frankly, we've just not seen it play out quite yet. And a lot of things are not set up in 2011 to necessarily lead us to believe that a lot of that pent-up demand is going to get replaced in 2011. So, at the same time, basic economic indicators show a stronger environment, better environment for growth. So if you end up in that 5% growth range for 2011, then that's going to be a pretty good year, in my opinion, compared to 2010.
Okay. That's some good news. What for contracts and distributors, looking for some key indicators that might foreshadow when a big turnaround in the industry would happen, can you hit a few of those on what they should be looking for?
Well, I'll tell you, I think let's first take a look at the equipment markets, because a great indicator of what 2011 is going to look like will be exactly what the mix shift is as a result of the reduced tax credit. In other words, how much of high efficiency unitary sales starts slipping at all in 2011. If it's a small or negligible slip, that's a great sign for the industry. We're going to have a great year. If it's a big slip and it's looking a lot more like 2008, 2007 levels of high efficiency sales, then we're in for a challenging year. So that's a key indicator. Another thing is, I cannot ignore the impact that these dry shipped R22 residential units could have. If you're looking at what percent of your sales are R22 units versus 410A units, specifically dry ship. That's another leading indicator. We have a hard time seeing how we're going to maintain a lot of the margin benefits that we saw in 2010, the higher upsell benefits we saw in 2010, largely driven by the tax credits. If we see a large movement to, say, those dry shipped, what we kind of call chop and drop type models. So those are some of the industry-specific unitary factors we'd look at. I can also tell you that every quarter we issue very extensive economic forecasts on a regional basis to our members that looks at a whole host of economic indices that we think are leading indicators for our members. But just a snapshot of some of those would be things like the home improvement market, consumer confidence index, consumer lending rates. Those type of things tend to give us a great snapshot. Now, we also always look like at construction and housing permits and things like that, but the correlation is not quite as distinct with those sort of things. So there's other things we look a little bit deeper on. Steel and copper, of course, that affects the base price of products. So, and couple that with inflationary rates, if you start seeing rises in inflation like our economists do anticipate, that makes it tough for high-ticket products like ours.
Sure. Can you talk a little bit, explain to the listeners the dry shipping issue, and does Hardy have a stance on that?
Well, the issue is that I think most of our members, at least, were pretty certain that they were done with R22 equipment. They were planning on selling through whatever was left in inventory, or, like many of our members, really were done with it last year. But now it's resurrected the whole thing up again. So now we're back to double inventorying and double demand curves and everything. Plus, not to mention, I think what Hardy's biggest concern out of this whole thing has been is the potential impact this could have on properly matched full system installations. Hardy and AHRI and ACCA have all been strong proponents of properly matched systems, dedicated trainers with millions of dollars invested in training and education to make sure that all technicians understand the value of properly matched system installations. And we have some concerns that these units are going to erode or to some degree conflict with that messaging and provide a perceived lower cost option that won't perform as strongly as a properly matched system will. So, our issue is not what type of refrigerant it is, so to speak, or anything like that specifically, but it's more about the long-term implications. So we are going to try to back up our members as best we can and help them to continue to explain to contractors and to their end customers the value of properly matched systems. But we also acknowledge that there are going to be some market segments in particular where these dry ship units are going to be a very convenient fit, and so they're going to play a significant role in this year's market, and we're actually working on trying to see if we can quantify exactly how big of an impact they may have.
Okay, thanks for the info. It's all the planning you do. You never know what's around the corner in this industry. You can always put change your plans. What other legislative issues is Hardy keeping an eye on?
Well, right now, of course, the hot button topic is healthcare reform again. Mm-hmm. We went through this enough last year, but there are issues in that reform bill. So whatever tweaks on the edges that end up happening here are going to be pretty important and pretty significant. Our members particularly fit into that awkward spot where they're small businesses, but they're large enough to have sizable insurance policies and exposure, but generally not large enough to totally self-insure and get out of the system altogether. So healthcare reform is going to be a big one. We were not in favor of the reform bill. We've always been in favor of things like association health plans or ways that we can leverage our members' buying power to help them compete with the large nationwide employers in the self-insured employers for insurance coverage. Hopefully, part of the trimming or the reforms to the reform will include some innovative things like that that we think would really reduce costs for health insurers. Of course, energy efficiency policy too. Now there has been a change in dynamic in Washington, and so we are very curious what their approach will be to energy efficiency. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need to see billions of dollars going towards incentives for energy efficiency, but energy efficiency friendly policies will be very important, and we're going to be spending a lot of time educating these new members of Congress and the benefits of energy efficiency, not just economically, but also to small businesses and to the environment and to the national energy policy, which, you know, you can debate exists or does not, but still, energy efficiency is the lowest cost resource to accomplishing those goals. And then you can't escape the regulatory impacts. I think that I'm not the only one who's talked about this, that 2011 will be the year of regulation more than legislation. Labor regulations specifically is going to be a big deal. And then there's a whole host of DOE rulemakings on the docket for 2011 consideration relating to the products that our members sell and their customers install. So we could be spending more time in regulatory agencies this year than we actually are in the halls of Congress.
Wow. Going back to the healthcare, I'm assuming you don't think a repeal is possible, but it's just tweaking that'll make it as less invasive as it can be?
Yeah, well, a great example is the 1099 provision, the requirement on small businesses to file 1099s on aggregate purchases from vendors of over $600. Just a ridiculous piece of legislation, frankly. So that's a no-brainer. I think everybody now has realized that that's a ridiculous aspect of the reform bill, and I expect that to get trimmed off fairly quickly in 2011. But again, this you're hearing now the alternative proposals trying to include some form of cross-state purchasing or association health plan model type things, which I think is common sense. It's a no-brainer, common sense solution. So I certainly hope that's a key aspect of it. Now, in the meantime, I will say we advised our members the minute that reform bill was passed to start planning ahead in your forecasting for higher insurance coverage costs, and therefore, when you're doing your forecasting and you're doing your goal setting, you're building into it some aggressive revenue generators that will offset those higher expenses to make sure that you're maintaining your at least bare minimum or goal margins. There's no way that our members are going to escape higher premiums in the face of these reforms.
Sure. Let's talk about Hardy a little bit now. You recently transitioned from the role of vice president to executive vice president, COO. Was wondering what you plan to focus on in that new position, and then what new things are on the horizon for Hardy?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to be in the position. I truly love the organization and our members, so I hope I can do them justice in this role. But I tell you, that is a key focus of mine, is to broaden even farther our network of highly engaged members, help members understand the resources available to them, but more than anything, making sure I'm truly understanding what their hot spots are, what's keeping them up at night, and also being stronger at anticipating those concerns, and what can we do to address those and make business easier for them day in, day out. We are committed to growing our engaged members' competitive advantage in the marketplace. We firmly believe that our members who are actively engaged and taking full advantage of the resources we provide to them will outperform those who are not, or those who are not in the membership, and we want to grow that value. And then finally, a lot of the work and time I do is working with our industry partners, both the manufacturers and the contractors, and I'm committed to helping them realize and understand the value our members bring to what they're trying to do in the marketplace, and to grow that value that our members bring to the marketplace. So overall, I think it's just trying to be as proactive as we absolutely can and make sure we don't fall into to the convenient habit of perhaps being reactive too often.
Okay, great. Well, before I let you get back to working on that full plate, let me ask you the final question. What do you think are the biggest issues facing the distributor today, and what do they have to do to compete in today's market?
Well, that's a fantastic question. And part of me figures that you probably could ask me this question 10 years ago and maybe the answer might have been the same, but I think it's that continuing pressure on distributor margins coupled with continually increasing expectations both from their suppliers and their customers. So that's obviously quite a vice to be in the middle of there. So that leads us to feel that what distributors need to do to be successful is they need to be able to very quickly identify and even quicker than that capitalize on opportunities out there in the marketplace. And these are that's kind of the focus I was talking about as far as how we are proactive and are trying to be proactive. Identify opportunities for members, position them very, very easily so they can take advantage of them, and then help them execute on a dime, really, to get into that. And then, of course, the second part to that is, and again, this relates back to the resources we have or are developing, is to help distributors be more efficient. There is no way that they continue to maintain or grow margins that they need to be successful businesses if they are not able to continually streamline their processes, be leaner, more efficient, and that's really what we're trying to do, and what type of things can we be doing for them here in Columbus, Ohio, so they don't have to do them in their day-to-day businesses, and they can be focusing on growing even more and doing newer and better things.
Great information. We appreciate you taking the time, Talbot, to talk to us a few minutes. Really respect Hardy and all you do for the industry. You really do great work over there.
Well, thank you very much. We rely on your magazine for a lot of this information, so we appreciate the partnership.
Outstanding. Are you going to be in Vegas in a couple weeks for the expo?
Absolutely. We're going to have a full crew out there, and everyone is welcome to join us in booth C1146. And we're going to have a number of our staff out there, especially some that are fairly new. We're really excited about some new resources we have available to our members in a professional instructional designer who we have on staff. Emily Saving is our new education and services manager. We have a membership development and services manager as well in Stephanie Lingefelter, who's going to be out there, whose job is to custom fit Hardy to the needs of our members. So we're really excited about having them out there and having the chance to introduce them to the industry and our distributors. So hope everyone takes a moment to stop by and see us.
Sounds good. I'll make sure I stop by and say hi.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Talbot.
Okay.
Thanks again, Talbot. That was great information. And thanks, everyone, for the download. If you have any general comments or guest suggestions for the podcast, please visit www.achrnews.com/podcast. And as always, you can find us on iTunes by searching ACHR News. Good times, everybody.